Man, we are thankful, right? Amen. Some of us maybe are, some of us maybe aren't, but we should be thankful. Yeah. Man, I'm thankful that we're here today. I'm thankful that we're able to gather today. I'm thankful for love. I'm thankful for light, for God's mercy. I'm thankful for God's amazing grace in my life. I'm thankful for salvation. And there's just so much. If you begin to list out, just write a list of all the things that you're thankful for, man, you'll be writing for a very, very long time. And in Psalm 118, verse 24, it says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." It doesn't say you should rejoice. You may rejoice. It says we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. So are you thankful today?
Yes.
Yeah? Are we thankful today? How about just a couple people just tell us what you're thankful for? I don't ever do this, so this could be, keep it clean, right? But just tell us what you're thankful for today. Just shout it out. What are you thankful for today?
My home, my apartment.
Yeah? Absolutely.
Family.
Baseball.
Baseball?
He told me that on Wednesday night, too. So, what else?
I'm thankful that we got a roof over our head. Mm. We got our door fixed.
Mm. Amen. Yeah, he told me stock trailers. There's a story behind that. So there's so much to be thankful for, right? And it can be the little things that we take for granted that we don't realize that we're thankful for until they're gone, right? And when they're gone, we're like, man, I was thankful for that. I was thankful for that person, right? We don't realize maybe there's somebody in our life that maybe that's not in our life anymore, that we didn't realize just how thankful we were to have them. And then when they're gone, we're like, man, I miss them so much. But we should be thankful for the time that we had with them. And I believe it's easy for us to be thankful for the good things, right? It's easy to be thankful that we woke up today, our car started, we were able to get to church, we're able to gather together. But what about the bumps in the road? What about the hiccups? What about the things that aren't so easy or that aren't so good? What about the train that never comes on Sundays? Yeah, they came last night while we were having our family gathering too. So, but you know what? I'm thankful that guy's got a job, you know? So thankful he's hauling wherever it needs to go. So, but can we be thankful in difficult situations? Can we be thankful in things that we just are out of our control? And I want us to really today, we're going to talk about, it's Thanksgiving, right? It's Thanksgiving week. I could have done it last week, could have done it this week, and really wasn't going to do it until this is where the Lord directed me. But I want us to examine our own personal lives today and look at some scriptures, quite a few of them, and just see how thankful we truly are. And how thankful we are for the good things, how thankful we are for the rough things. And we're going to look at five things today that really we should be thankful for. And the first one, number one, right off the bat, we're just going to get right into this. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. And number one is to be thankful to be a partaker of the eternal inheritance. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 13, it says this, Colossians 1, 12 through 13. It says, giving thanks unto the Father. Oh, wait a second. I'm sorry. I jumped a little early. Colossians 1, 12 through 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. How often, truly, right, we're examining our own lives. We're examining where we're at. And how often do we cry out to the Lord in thanksgiving and thank him for giving us new life? Or how often do we just take advantage of that, right? Or just take it for granted because, you know, it's happened, right? Jesus came, he died, he was buried, he did that so that we can have eternal life. And when we place our faith and trust in that, boom, it happens. We are born again. We are given new life. But how often do we reflect on that and thank God? Because if he wouldn't have done that, man, it would not be a good place, right? Not that it's a great place now, but man, praise the Lord for Jesus and praise the Lord for our salvation. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be a partaker of an eternity, right? That an eternal inheritance. Praise the Lord for that. God has made a way for us. And man, we read right there, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, right? We're born a child of the devil. Nothing we can do about it. That's just how it happened, right? Because of sin that entered into the world. We are born a child of the devil. We act like a child of the devil, right? We spend our life until we meet Jesus just like that. In a bondage of sin, wrapped up, shackled down, heavy chains, nothing we can do about it. And then we meet Jesus Christ and that is all set free. That's all set free. The chains are broken. And God's delivered us from that darkness. We don't have to walk in that darkness anymore. Amen. Because he's changed us from the inside out. Yeah. We're not that person anymore. We should not act like that person anymore. We should not talk like that person anymore because he's changed us, okay? He's given us new life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Are you thankful for that today? We're victorious through Jesus, right? Amen? We are victorious through Jesus. We are walking. Maybe today you're like, man, I don't feel very victorious. If you're born again today, you are victorious. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God, which give us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking about victory in a baseball game. Right? We're talking about victory in eternity because we get to spend that with Jesus Christ and we should be thanking him for that, man, as much as we possibly can because he's given us that victory. The second one is thankful for the trials. What? Why would I be thankful for the trials? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's a hard thing to swallow sometimes. How can I rejoice and be exceedingly glad when I'm facing so many trials and tribulations in my life and things are just not going super easy? But it says that we are blessed when we're persecuted. The word tells us to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And like I said, it's a hard pill to swallow. And I was just talking to a brother on the phone this week. One of those brothers that I was talking about last week that will come running into the fire with you, you know. And I have several of those, but one calls me and checks up on me probably maybe not once a week, but every other week. Or he texts me and just encourages me. And I was talking to him this week because, you know, he knows that we're kind of going through a fire right now. And he was just checking on me and encouraging me. And he encouraged me by saying, you're facing those things because you're a threat. Because if you weren't going through the fires, if things were going just perfect, then, man, you wouldn't be a threat. Right. And sometimes that's hard. We're just like, man, but it would just be so much easier. Right? It would be so much easier on my flesh and my family's flesh if we could just not have to go through certain things in our lives. And he just encouraged me by just speaking truth to my life and telling me, man, just keep walking through the fire. Just keep following Jesus. Just keep trusting him because, man, look what he went through. How do we praise the Lord for what he's doing in our lives if all we look at is the fire around us? It would be easy to cast blame on him. God, why? Right? I've done this. Maybe you have too. God, why are you allowing this to happen in my life? God, why are you allowing this to happen in so-and-so's life? Why is this going on? And we begin to cast blame on him. And then we open up his word and we're reminded of all the saints that we read about in the Bible that, man, our lives are not so bad. Our lives are not so bad compared to some of what's happened. Or think about the martyrs that have went before us and gave their life for the sake of the gospel that would not deny Christ and were burned and stoned and murdered for the sake of Jesus' name. Makes my problems seem pretty small. Therefore, it causes me to rejoice in his grace and mercy. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 8, it says this in Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations worketh, there's a byproduct, patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But in verse 8 it says, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How can we not rejoice in that? Well, I'm going through so much. I'm going through all these tribulations in my life, and my health's bad, and my job's bad, and the economy's bad, and gas prices are high, and there's just so much going on, and there's so much oppression coming upon me, and I just can't help it. And then we're reminded that during even all of this in our life, we must be remembered that yet while we were yet sinners, while we were yet without God, Christ died for us. To glory in tribulation may seem impossible for some, but why would God put it in his word? Okay? Why would God put it in his word if it was not, if it was something that was impossible? We read in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that trying of your faith worketh patience. Another word for that word joy here is delight. The word divers means different, and temptation here means test or trials. So what the author is stating here to the Jews, it's written to the Jews, is that when they fall into different kinds of trials and tests and temptations, that they shall find delight in the midst of it. The problem with the word joy, okay, here's the problem with the word joy, is that we think joy means happiness, okay? Because when we think of joy, you think, oh man, everything, woohoo, party time. But the fact is that joy doesn't mean happiness. They're two different things. We confuse those because here's the thing. Happiness is based on circumstances, right? There's certain things that happen in our life that make us happy, right? Family, eating turkey, mashed potatoes, whatever it is. They make, man, I'm so happy. That's not joy. That's a temporary satisfaction that brings happiness into our life. Anything or anyone can count something joyful, right? Air quote, when things are going their way, when everything is going the way, it's easy to smile, it's easy to kick your heels up and yell yeehaw and yippee and all of those things. But when things take a turn and go the other way, it's a lot harder to find this joy or happiness because things aren't going so good, because happiness is temporary. This joy we're talking about here, this joy that we just read about, this joy that is instilled in the believer at the moment of salvation, this joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Okay? And you can read that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Given to us at the moment when we're born again. This joy here is not based on our circumstances. It's the joy of the Lord. So when things are going crazy, trials are pounding us left and right, know that if we're a child of God, that we are given this fruit, right? Because this is the fruit of walking in the Spirit, okay? We're given the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. We have the power to walk in that Spirit. So when we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to experience that. It's not based on our circumstances. It's the choice that we make to allow it to happen or not. We must walk in the Spirit. Because too often in our lives, we allow the circumstances to dictate whether we're happy, we're mad, we're sad, we're upset, right? That's the problem with today. But what if we truly took it to the Lord and allow Him to shoulder it? What if we truly casted our cares upon Him because He cares for us, right? And we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Again, we must not pick and choose what we're thankful for or when we're thankful for it. Right here it says in everything. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything. In your Bible, you should underline that, highlight it, circle it, star it. You should do all of that so that we're reminded that in everything that happens in my life, I just need to thank the Lord. I just need to thank the Lord. Good, bad, or ugly. In everything that happens in our life, you know what? The Lord is teaching us. He's growing us. He's molding us. And there's a reason for something happening. But we must see it that way is the problem. And point number three, our third reason to be thankful is thankful for those that receive God's message. Thankful for those that receive God's message. If you turn to Acts chapter 13, we're going to see something here in Acts chapter 13. Because in Acts 13, we see Paul and Barnabas, right? They're like homeboys, traveling all over the place, leading people to Christ, starting Bible studies, planting churches, doing all this, making disciples. They're taking the word of the word of God to the Jew first, right? And then the Gentiles caught wind of this. They got caught wind of the words of the Lord and desired greatly to hear this. And in Acts chapter 13, I just want to read towards the end of it. The Jews rejected the message. Okay, they rejected what was going on. They didn't want to hear it anymore. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 42 through 49, it says, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them next, the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath came also the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthily of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light in the of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be it for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." When we, if you've ever been door knocking or street evangelizing or just evangelism period, maybe in your family, it's not an easy thing. Or to just stand up and preach God's word, it's not an easy thing. And you know that the number 13 is the number of rebellion, right? So we're here in Acts chapter 13, and the Jews are rebelling against this. They're honked off. And so when the Jews began to reject this, Paul took the word to the Gentiles. And here's the thing, not everybody that we speak the word to is going to receive it. We know that. But the Bible doesn't tell us to, well, if they reject it, just stop. No, we just keep going, right? So Paul's like, I have a message to speak, and I'm going to speak it, and someone's going to listen to it. And then he finds this group of Gentiles that are just, man, they're like, we want the word of the Lord. We want to hear it. Paul was just being obedient to follow God and to speak his word. And that's what we are called to do. Because here's the thing. Some will receive it. Some will reject it. But that shouldn't stop us. Paul and Barnabas seized the opportunity that was right in front of him, the opportunity to speak truth and have it received, right? They'd had it rejected, right? But man, it was being received and oh, it was catching fire. There were multitudes that heard the word. I'm not saying that every Gentile received it, but there was multitudes. And praise the Lord, because the message was passed down all the way to you and me. It spreads like wildfire on a dry summer day. And I'm so thankful for that. Because someone received it. And you know what they did? They didn't receive it and put it in their pocket. They received it and lived it out and began to speak it. And then they received it. And then they received it. And you know what? The word of God, yes, we have it right here in the pages of this. But man, God has commanded us to go and preach the gospel. And people have been obedient to that. And that is why we are here today. Because obedient worshipers. And what if we stop? What if there's people that are ready to receive God's word and we are not speaking it? We need to go and speak it to others as well. Maybe we need to hop on the train. The fourth one, he's on his way out. The fourth one is to be thankful for the body of Christ. I think this is one that we take advantage of, and take for granted, because how truly thankful are we for the body of Christ? Because here's the thing, God has put us here together in Clinton, Missouri, but he's also put us together all over the world. All over the world, right? We're not a cult, okay? We are the body of Christ. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's really awesome is that there's people on the other side of the world doing the same thing. There's people down the street doing the same thing. He's put us together to accomplish the same things as our brothers and sisters all over the place. The same mission, just in a different place. You know, we pray for them, we support them, they pray for us, they support us. This is how the body works. Not fighting against one another. Not at war for souls to we're at war to get the souls to be a member of this local New Testament church. No, that is not it whatsoever. We're at war with the devil for the souls of men and women for eternal life. Think about Clinton. Man, there's churches all over Clinton. There's so many churches here. And you know, we don't all agree on the doctrine. But what if that was true? What if the reason that churches were here was to glorify God and reproduce? And I'm going to get ahead of myself, but what if it was to just preach the pure gospel and see souls saved? What if that was the case? And I truly believe that New Life is unique. And we are full of peculiar people, right? And we desire to live out this word that is plastered right here on the wall, right? To grow. We desire to do that. We desire to see each person that walks in the door to be able to grow, to get ready and to be obedient worshipers, to become equipped to carry out the mission of God in their own personal walk. That is the purpose. Because each person should be equipped to be able to do that, okay? Every single person, every member of the body should be equipped to carry out the mission of God in their own personal walk. Right? Not in little holy huddle cliques and all of that like little high school kids, but personally, we should be able to leave here and be like, God, I'm on mission and I want to be on mission and I want to carry out the mission. We want to be a church that makes leaders, that makes leaders. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, it tells us that we are the body of Christ and members in particular. Each and every one that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ are a member of the body. Though we may gather in different places, we all make up the family of God. And one thing that we must not forget is that the body has a head. Because what good's a body without a head, right? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 18 says, "Who is an image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." And then in verse 18 it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Jesus Christ is the head. He is the one we answer to. He is the one we listen to. He is the one who instructs us. And we should be thankful that he makes up the head of the body. We must be thankful for the body of Christ. We are all different, but we're all the same in Christ. We all play different roles, and we need to execute those roles with excellence, right? Because if the hand ain't working, the foot's working overtime, right? And then the foot gets tired because the hand ain't doing his job. And man, it's just so important for the whole body that's fitly God has fitly put it together perfectly to work together. Not so the feet can do all the work and everything else can just sit around and do nothing. Not so the hands can do all the work and the feet can take a break. But if we all just do our part, right? The old saying, many hands make light work. The body of Christ works like that. He's called each and every one of us to do that. And he desires for us to do that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 tells us to walk worthy of the vocation in which we are called. And this goes for our whole life, not just when we're around each other, not just when we have somebody babysitting us. It says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. So we have to remain humble as we do this. Lifting each other up, encouraging one another, working together for the same goal, which brings us to our final point, which is we should be thankful that we are called to glorify God. Okay? We are called, as the local New Testament church, as members in particular, as the body of Christ, we are called to glorify God. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to do two things, and we talk about them all the time. To glorify God and reproduce worshipers, right? We are to glorify God and reproduce. How amazing is it to be able to bring glory to the Creator of everything? How awesome is it that He gives us sinners that are saved by grace the opportunity to glorify Him? This should simply blow our mind. And we never fully understand why He enables us to do so. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, "For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, and whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." And in Isaiah 43:7, it says, "And even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory," he says. "I have formed him, yea, I have made him." It was what we were created for, church. It was God's intention all along. For mankind to bring Him glory, to glorify Him. We get to bring Him glory through our life, through our actions, through our voice. What else should we do? We tend to think that there's more, and then we get bogged down, and there's nothing more. When we are obedient to the Father, this naturally will happen, because just as we teach our children, obedience is the very best way. And when we obey God's word, and don't try to get all bogged down and so confused, we just obey what God says. That's the very best way, and it's going to bring Him glory. We're also called to reproduce worshipers. From the beginning of man was to be fruitful and multiply. Adam was created in the image of God, and he was told to reproduce that image, right? Be fruitful and multiply. God told him that. Replenish the earth. And then something happened. Sin messed it all up. And then what was being multiplied was all these little center dogs that we produce all the time. And this was carried out for generations until God sent Jesus. And we still make little center dogs that run around all the time. But Jesus came to make a way to be reconciled back to Him through the relationship with His Son. That's what God did. Now we're called not to reproduce physically, though, you know, we're pretty good at it, obviously. We're doing a pretty good job of reproducing physically. But we're called to reproduce spiritually. Amen. You know, Proverbs 22:6 says to train up a child the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we have these babies, some cute, some not so cute, right? Just depends, you know, what your taste in the baby is. And you're like, oh, they're so cute. Look at them. They're perfect. No, they're not. They're not perfect, right? They cry, they poop, they just do all this dumb stuff, and they're not perfect. But, oh, they're so perfect. But they're just a little center dog. Though they may not know it yet, right? From the moment of conception, that cute little baby was born into sin. And then it's the parent's job, not the church's job, not the school's job, not the whatever's job. It's the parent's job to train them up in the way they should go, which is in the way of the Lord, right? And I'm not saying, oh, we're a godly family, you're a godly child. No, you're a lost sinner dog. Our godly family is going to instill truth into you, so that one day you can understand that truth and personally accept that truth and become born again, become a child of God, right? Does this happen all the time underneath the roof and the authority and protection of the home? No, but that doesn't mean that we aren't supposed to train them. Train them up in the way that they should go, so that, man, those seeds that were planted into their life, we don't get to choose when they grow. We want to because we're like, we're the parent and we say so, right? Repent, right? I'm going to whoop you until you repent. I'll beat the devil out of you, whatever it is, right? We've tried it all and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And that's not how God works on us, right? He doesn't beat the devil out of us. He just says, more grace, more mercy, more grace, more mercy, right? Because if he didn't, he'd say, time's up, and you know where you end up. But his desire is for all men to repent, all men to place their faith and trust in Jesus alone. So he's like, more grace, more mercy, more grace, more mercy. So next time when you're like, man, my child needs to accept Jesus Christ, more grace, more mercy, more grace, more mercy, right? More truth. Just keep piling it in there. Just keep loving them like Jesus loves you. And then one day, Lord willing, they will not depart from that. They'll accept it. You know, it's a lot harder to reproduce spiritually than it is physically. Some of us know that well. Some of us have big families. We're like, yep, absolutely. It takes obedience to the instructions that we're given to go and tell. This cannot be done hiding in our house. We need to get on the rooftops and blare it like the train horn on a Sunday morning. In our neighbors' houses and their neighbors' houses and start spreading the message. We must not live in fear and allow the enemy to keep us from doing what we're commanded to do. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, that then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And when we do this, the glory is taken off of us and is put on the Father where it belongs. We should be so thankful that we're called to do that. We should be so thankful that we get to glorify God. We get to reproduce spiritually because we reproduce spiritually because we speak truth into someone's life. We don't do the reproduction. We just get to be a vessel. We get to be the conduit that the word goes through to get to those lost souls. The question that we're asked is, are we thankful that we're called to do this? There's been so many that have went before us, casting all their cares on the Lord, trusting Him with their lives, even if it meant losing it. Even if it meant the end of their life so that one more person could hear about Christ. They knew what was ahead, and death would not stop them from glorifying the Father on earth. Saints like this have made it possible. They've made it possible for us today to freely go around in this country and speak truth boldly out of love to everyone around us. And there's been so many, right? I'm not just talking about martyrs and all that, but man, there's been so many that have made it. We have freedom, but yet we walk around like we're bound up, shackled up, mute. I don't want to offend anybody. When we forget who we're answering to. That's our problem. And this is something God tells me all the time. You're worried about offending a person, and you're not worried about pleasing me. And I'm like, dang it. How do you got nothing, right? Yeah, nothing you can say back to God when He says that. You're like, well, shoot. So I either walk in disobedience or I'm obedient to you, God. It's our choice. It's our choice. But yeah, we let people and their opinions about us dictate whether we will be obedient to God or not. Even as grown adults, right? We don't answer to our mamas and daddies anymore, okay? I had my mom and dad over yesterday. I didn't answer to them. In fact, I kind of told them what to do sometimes, right? I'm like, this is my house. But what about God? Do we try to tell Him and dictate to Him what? No, God, I'm not doing that. This is my life. He says, yeah, I gave it to you for a purpose. Quit wasting it. Quit wasting it. We need to go and tell the world today, church. Make the gospel known. Make Jesus famous. Because if we don't, who will? Really? Well, somebody will. Do you know that? It's time for us as the church. And I'm not saying you're not doing it. And man, some of you guys are doing a really great job of it. But what if we were just obedient and said, I'm going to be the one to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm going to be the one to go into their life and make a difference with God's word. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Take the opportunity that God has blessed us with and seize the opportunity. When God lays something on your heart, you know it's a lot easier to do, and you'll be more obedient if you just do it right then instead of, right, oh, I'll do that later. No, you won't, right? No, you won't. You won't do it later because things will happen. You'll get busy and you'll forget, and or you'll have time to come up with an excuse, right? You're delaying the inevitable. But when God lays something on your heart, somebody comes to mind, God brings somebody to your remembrance, first of all, you better start praying for that person. And then you better start sharing with that person. We need to ask God to really just solidify some things in our heart. And we need to be understanding if we are really truly thankful for the calling on each of our lives. Right? Each of us are called to different things, but really the same thing. And I'm thankful for God's calling on each of your lives. I'm thankful that God has placed us right here, right now. And I hope you guys are too. Because God has each and every one of us here for a reason. And we must believe that. We must believe that we're here for a purpose. And I'm not talking about inside this building. I'm talking about in our community, in where God has us right now. Because nothing happens by happenstance. Because we must trust Him in everything that we do and give Him thanks for good and for bad. And turn with me. Everybody lay your eyes on Psalm chapter 57 and we'll be done. Psalm chapter 57. We'll read the whole chapter. It's not very long. In Psalm 57, it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge into these calamities by overpast. I will cry unto God my most high, or I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues are sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let the glory be above the earth. They have prepared a net for thy steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake. Psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let the glory be above all the earth." Let's pray.